smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
We all communicate with our dogs, or at least we think we do. Sometimes, maybe most of the time, it seems like one-way communication. You say, "Stop that," and then the dog ignores you. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today's topic is intuitive communication between humans and dogs. My guest today is Marta Williams, author of Ask Your Animal, Resolving Behavioral Issues Through Intuitive Communication. Before becoming an animal communicator, Marta was a wildlife biologist and environmental scientist, which is to say that she came to this field with a healthy dose of skepticism. Welcome, Marta.
Hi, thank you.
It's good to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
Tell us how you became convinced that we could learn to communicate intuitively with animals.
Well, I became convinced in the same way that anyone else who is interested in this could become convinced. I took a class, and then I started practicing on my own, asking questions that I could then verify with the dog's person.
For instance,
asking whether a dog likes to go into water, or sitting in the vet office and asking the dog, "What are you here for?" and then saying to the person, "What are you here with? You know, what's wrong with your dog?"
Now, what is the difference between this and psychic abilities?
Well, there's really not a difference. I call it intuitive ability because it's a bit easier for people to relate to that term, and because from my point of view, it's something that everyone has from birth. It's completely natural and a part of our hardwiring, as it were, and it's something that everybody, as I say, knew how to do and can relearn or reacquaint themselves with the ability and be able to do this. So I think of it as something really fairly normal and natural.
But like anything else, it's a skill that you can practice and hone.
That's right. But the essential ability is something that all animals, all life, we're born with it, because it's really a survival value. It's like what I talk about in my book about the animals in the tsunami who knew intuitively that there was a problem. Some people also did, but a greater portion of people just ignored those warnings. Do you see?
Yeah, so that's the same with earthquakes. You and I both live in earthquake country, mm-hmm. and often dogs know an earthquake
that's
is coming
right.
before we do.
Or dogs know when somebody's not a good person, and that's just a real key behavior. Is a dog that's normally really nice to everyone all of a sudden taking a dislike to someone, and then you find out that there really is something not good about that person.
Or they'll sense fear.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll sense fear. So these are things that animals are masters at intuitive communication, and that we can, with practice, get as good as they are.
Marta, are some dogs more intuitive than others? Certainly some people seem to have honed those skills more than others.
I don't know that I could make that statement, but I think some dogs are much more much more communicative, much more interested in interacting, so it might seem like they're more intuitive.
And what about a gender difference? I mean, there are those who say that women are more intuitive than men.
Yeah, I actually don't buy that one. I actually think that men and women are equally intuitive, and I think it's a cultural thing that makes men not be so interested or engaged in this field. There's just millions of women around the world right now who are interested in learning how to communicate intuitively. And men, I think, are interested, but not so. There's a cultural taboo for them to sort of step up to the plate and say, "Yeah, I want to know too." So less men are involved. With animals, they don't have that cultural overlay that humans have, so I don't think there's any difference at all.
Intuitive communication involves both sending messages and receiving messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sending messages is one thing. This is something we can practice. Can we also learn how to pick up a dog's messages?
Absolutely. I talk about that in the book. But with sending, what I like to tell people is most animal people talk to their animals, but most of us, and myself included, when I started out in this field, I didn't realize just how much they absolutely understand us. So what I tell people to do the talking experiment, which is to internally hold the belief that your animal understands everything you say just as a person would, and for 2 weeks talk to them and explain everything in depth the way that you would with a person. And what will happen, I'm quite sure, Joanne, that people will see is that their animal, there'll be nuanced differences in the way your animal responds to you, relates to you, and you might even start picking up messages just spontaneously through this process. The techniques for receiving are a little more complicated to learn than the talking part.
So often we talk to our dogs as though they were babies. Mm-hmm. You know, we put on that sort of voice. Mm-hmm. Is that really annoying to them?
Probably to some dogs it really is. And other dogs probably just love it. So I'd say that's just like people.
Yeah. I mean, you see that tail wag because it somehow sounds like love.
Well, I bet you there. I mean, I'm sure there's dogs that go, oh, no, she's not going to do that again and walk away.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But I think a lot of them, they'd like to be loved, so.
Let's talk about some of the practical applications for intuitive communication.
Well, in the book, Ask Your Animal, I talk about how you can apply it to training. I talk about how you can apply it to bad behaviors and shifting bad behaviors, all range of bad behaviors. You can also use it for helping rescue animals, to calm them, any animals that are in crisis, and also to find out about a rescue animal's past. It can be useful for working with feral animals, feral cat or dog populations, and also working with wildlife. I know one of my clients, I encouraged her to go to vet school, so she's a holistic vet or integrative vet now, and she uses it to explain to her clients what she's going to be doing.
And I would think also just getting a sense of how they're feeling. We're all very frustrated when they can't talk to us and explain what hurts.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. And so understanding their point of view and understanding how they feel really helps you, for example, to tailor a training program or make adjustments in what you're doing so that there'll be more harmony.
This isn't instead of a good training program. It's an adjunct to it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is something you can try before going to training and sometimes be successful. I have one student who did this with her dog who would always bark when friends came over. And she really wanted to have a dinner party, and she did not want to have the dog barking, and she also didn't want to close him off. So she just sat down and explained everything to him and gave him what I call mental movies or visualizations, mental pictures of the people coming and him being quiet and him getting attention and everything being great. And he actually didn't even bark when they showed up. He went over and smelled everybody, and they went and plopped down in the living room and did not utter one bark. And it was, her husband said, if I hadn't seen this, I wouldn't have believed it. So that was a case where it worked without any training sessions. But, it's always good to try it, but then a lot of times you are going to have to combine it with traditional nonviolent training methods.
Marta, what are some of the behaviors that you can effectively change using intuitive communication?
Well, as I say, it's good to do it in combination with formal training, but some of the things that it can be very helpful with is aggression and also separation anxiety, barking, not running away, not, digging, not coming when called, all those kind of behaviors.
And how do you do it?
Well, what I talk about is the coach approach. And so the first thing is to, instead of being an adversary, sometimes when your dog is doing bad behavior, you feel kind of adversarial. So instead you have to pretend like you're their Olympic coach and they're your Olympic hopeful. And no matter how pathetic it looks, you, as the coach, you have to believe that they will succeed. So that's the first thing, is you become their advocate and you go, you know what, we're going to do everything that's necessary to shift this and make it happen. So you have that coach approach to start with. And then you tell them what you want, and you show them what you want, and you can also tell and show them what will happen if they don't do what you need and what you want, and then you go back and tell them what you want, show them what you want, and give lots and lots of compliments. So when I say show them, I mean in your mind make a mental movie of exactly what you want and exactly how you want things to be.
We're not talking threats and bribes here.
No, it's more, you could offer them mentally, or out loud, you could say, and I just talk out loud. I mean, it's the easiest, and they understand it. That's the suspension of disbelief that we're engaged in here, is the idea, the experiment that, okay, I'm going to talk to them out loud and they understand everything I'm saying. That's the experiment. And I do consider this to be like scientific experiments, and I've done it enough that I've proven it to myself that it works, and that's what I'm suggesting other people can do too. So, yes, certainly not threats, but explaining consequences is not the same as a threat. Saying, gosh, if you can't, you know, stop biting people, we may not be able to keep you. That's not a threat. That's the truth. Do you see?
Works with children, too.
And but saying something like, if you don't shape up your history, that's a threat. I mean, you can explain reality, but you don't want to be adversarial. That's why I'm saying you take the coach approach.
This takes a lot of time, I would think.
Not really.
I mean, on the part of the trainer, the human.
Not really. I mean, you can. It's just as much time as it takes to explain something out loud and close your eyes for a minute and imagine it. That's all the time it takes.
So you're saying it's more of a shift?
Oh, yeah. And, for example, with separation anxiety, it can be very, very helpful for people to just explain to the dog, look, here's where I'm going, here's how long I'm going to be gone, here's why you can't go, here's when I'll be home, here's what I want you to do while I'm gone, and then they show a mental picture of that, mental movie. And then when you're out and about or at work or something, just when you get a chance, just tune in and send a feeling of love. Imaginary animals send a feeling of love and just say, hi, I love you. I'll be back in 5 hours or I'll be back at 5 o'clock.
I have found that when I'm about to leave and Lulu always wants to come, you know, right down to the garage door with me thinking or hoping that she can come with me. If I say, you know what? Not now. You're not going to come with me now. I'll be back soon, but you can't come with me this time. Mm-hmm. She gets it and doesn't follow me down to the garage. She'll just
Absolutely.
Turn around and walk the other way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I really do know that they understand me now, so I will talk to them just exactly the same way I would talk to a person. Now, the caveat there is that just because they understand you doesn't mean they're going to do everything you ask, any more than a person would.
Darn it. Now, the question is, can we get locked up for this sort of behavior?
Not anymore. We're safe right now.
With the advent of Bluetooth, it seems like everybody's talking to themselves anyway. It doesn't matter. Right?
I know, in the restaurants when you're trying to eat.
Doesn't matter. Everybody's just chatting away to nobody, right?
Exactly.
Or everybody, or their dog.
Yeah.
Who knows?
No longer do you need to worry about being thought crazy. And as a matter of fact, I guess because of the pet psychic on Animal Planet or whatever, there's so many people who know about this now. All over the world. I teach all over the world. I mean, it's so popular, and everybody wants to do this with their animal.
Now, you teach in various different ways, right? You do lectures, workshops.
Yeah, mainly I do workshops, and I also teach people individually, either in person or by phone.
That's great. So you have a website that is martawilliams.com,
mm-hmm.
and on there can people find out about workshops that you're doing that
yes,
might be in
I
their
have,
area?
I have a schedule, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I teach other places, so I live in California, but I teach outside of California in the United States and also internationally.
Excellent. You can purchase a copy of Ask Your Animal from Amazon. Marta Williams, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Joanne.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to the Good Dog Podcast. Be sure to check out the Good Dog blog at gooddogpodcast.com.